name of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. At the end of July of this year, just a couple weeks ago, really, a statement or a letter was published in the local papers in Greater New Bedford and Fall River and elsewhere. And it was signed by over 40 leaders on the South Coast, coming from a faith perspective. You may have read it. If you have not, I would commend it to you. The first part of the letter, it emphasized the historical roots, the deep historical roots of racism in the United States. And it examined briefly the present reality of structural racism and white privilege and anti-blackness in our country. The second part, it focused then on concrete commitments. So very specific things that the signers pledged to undertake, to do. It ranged from things like further educating themselves and engaging in conversation with others for dialogue and education and understanding, all the way to working on specific public policy to advocate for concrete changes to promote more just and equitable communities and society. It was sent through the Grace Church email list as well, and after it was sent, a parishioner wrote me, one of several, and this parishioner wrote with gratitude, which is not always the case. But this parishioner wrote thankful for the statement and added this: "We all have blind spots. We need to find them. We all have blind spots. We need to find them." This morning, hearing from the Gospel of Matthew, I think that Jesus could agree with this. In today's Gospel, we hear that Jesus is traveling as he does, the itinerant preacher that he is, and he's traveling from one region to another. In this case, he's leaving Galilee, Jewish Galilee, for Gentile Tyre and Sidon. And we hear that a woman comes to him with a desperately sick child. And she begs Jesus. She begs Jesus to make her little girl well. Now, this wasn't just any nondescript person. Matthew seems to go out of his way to let us know a couple of things about her. I mean, first, where she is, so a non-Jewish region. She's a woman. And Matthew goes out of his way to let us know this. She is a Canaanite. She's not Jewish. She is distinct from Jesus. She is different religiously, ethnically, and culturally. What is more, and this isn't what Matthew says, but this is the understanding implicit in what Matthew says, there were long-standing animosities between Jesus's group and the woman's. There were real prejudices between Jews and their Gentile neighbors. Put another way, they, in general, did not like each other. And though it's so unlike our picture of Jesus, he refuses. He refuses to heal the woman's daughter. It's not a not yet. He doesn't say, I can't right now, but I'll be back. He refuses to the extent that his disciples become embarrassed because she won't take no for an answer. And what is more, it seems so unnecessary, he insults her in the process. He doesn't say no thank you. In the Greek, the original Greek, Jesus calls her a little dog. How do you explain that? No, I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, you might say that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. This is the way I grew up very well churched, let's say. And what I always heard about this passage was this was all part of Jesus's plan. Maybe he said this as a kind of joke. He had a sly smile on his face. The woman knew that Jesus was just kind of joking around, although it seems like an inopportune moment for that, being as she's coming to him with a sick daughter. Maybe he said this actually as part of a plan. So he did it in order to challenge the woman to speak up, to stand up, to claim the healing, as I grew up hearing about it, that this was part of his strategy so that the woman would more fully express her faith. It could be. It certainly is a great apologetic for Jesus. Makes him look a bit better. But through the years, I've come to read this passage differently. What if this is and in this episode, we are seeing something more of Jesus's humanity? What if Matthew, in this passage, is giving us a glimpse into the process, the path of Jesus' own walk with God? What if Jesus is tired? There's no sin in that. What if Jesus is stretched, overextended? What if Jesus does not react with his best self? What if Matthew is just actually telling us how it was? And we can take it at face value. Let's not apologize for Jesus. Maybe there's something richer there underneath. What if, at that point in his ministry, as this woman approaches him, he really believed that his mission, his ministry was limited to his Jewish brothers and sisters, and that he really didn't need to concern himself with this woman? What if Jesus, even Jesus, had room to grow? What if Jesus had room to grow, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually? This isn't heresy. The Gospel of Luke tells us this. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, as it totally glosses over Jesus's growing up, his adolescence, his coming into adulthood, says this: "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." Luke tells us Jesus did not come out of Mary's womb fully formed. Throughout his life, he continued to learn. He continued to grow. And so maybe Jesus responds exactly as Matthew suggests. Jesus really does believe what he says. It's not part of a plan. Maybe it's a blind spot. There's no sin in that. But the remarkable thing then, if that's true, is that he does not ignore this woman. He doesn't just keep walking. Yes, he refuses her based on his own understanding of who he is, of who he is in God, of God's purposes for him. Yes, he seems to feel very sure about his own viewpoint, his own understanding. Yet he still stops. He still engages in conversation with her. He listens. He opens himself up, really in a very vulnerable way, to what she is saying and who she is. That is remarkable. That's Jesus. And the woman, disrespected as she is, she does not go away. In her love for her daughter, maybe in sheer desperation, she persists. And she has faith as well. She continues to reach out for what she needs. The woman fully expects that through Jesus there is restoration, healing, and wholeness. And when Jesus does give her the good word, and he does, she trusts him. The woman receives just what she needs from Jesus. And I think that Jesus gets just what he needs as well. Jesus really listens to her, recognizing that God is speaking through her to him. And I think that Jesus learned something really important from this woman. Through her, he sees a fuller view of God's universal love. What this looks like in the flesh and his own place in it. He learned something so vital from her in his ever-evolving understanding of who he is and in his growth. The tenacity of this woman, the strength of her love, they help Jesus to know something more about himself and about God's will for him. The woman's faith and the way that her faith moves her to protest and push back, they actually invite Jesus to see more clearly. They invite Jesus and push him to see more clearly the radical hospitality, the inclusion of God's reign, God's kingdom, God's purposes for us here. I think that this so-called pagan woman, her love actually teaches Jesus something about God's love and what this means for his own life and ministry. I have no problem with this interpretation at all. Jesus here in the Gospel of Matthew having a teachable moment, I love it. Jesus is actually human. Fully human. As St. Paul, writing to the church, to the Hebrews, in his letter to the Hebrews, reminds us that Jesus is like his brothers and sisters, like us, in every respect. Jesus is learning just as we are, and he does so by opening himself up to another, and one so unlike himself. Just like us, he needs others to help him see, to help him live more fully into God's love and God's desires for him. He needs others to help him live more fully into his mission in the world, into right relationship with God and his neighbor. God's purposes unfolded. They continued to unfold throughout Jesus' life, through experiences and interactions, relationships. And this is good news, because God's purposes for us, they unfold in very similar ways. We all have blind spots. We need to find them. And we need each other to find them. There is no shame in this. Even Jesus learned and grew. So the question really is then, are we open to this as he was? Jesus lives in his own unfolding life, the love of God which knows no boundaries or borders, which respects no wall. And he calls us here to cross those boundaries as well, to open ourselves as he did, to risk ourselves. And yes, it does require a great deal of vulnerability at times, to learn from one another, and so often those least like us, just as Jesus did. When we do this, we will see God. We will experience God's love in new ways, and we will be invited, always and everywhere, to live more fully into God's purposes for us. Amen.